Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. It is good to be here today. We have a very important show. We wanted to make sure that we have all of our co-hosts on the line, and I'm going to play a song. I hope you like it. Here we go.
Lost for words, what I have to say you've already heard. But I don't think it will hurt to hear it again. Years have passed and your kiss is free. Even better now, soothing my heart still. How my passion feels just knowing that you're on your way home again. We still have our days, but that doesn't mean our love is strange. If anything, it takes me right back to you. I'm now wishing answered from the very start. Before hello, you have left your mark. One so deep I could not remove, even if I wanted to.
Shalom, everyone. We have a very special guest coming on our show today. Let me get my co-host on, Brother Adonia. One moment, please. Brother Adonia, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. I'm not feeling too well today. I'm just going
to
listen.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, you know what? I'll try not to talk to you that much then. We have a special guest on the line today. And if she's on the line, could you please push 1? So we can get you right on, and we will let you become our co-host. Hold on just a moment. Sis, are you there?
Yes, shalom, Sister Yaina, I'm here.
Shalom, shalom, would you like to introduce yourself?
Shalom, shalom, everyone. My name is Emuna Yisrael. I want to give all praises be to the Most High for another day of life. And, you know, just striving, serving of the Creator and seeking His will in the earth, you know, from wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have Emuna on our line today because she has a special passion, and today is a special show for healing. So we wanted her to be able to be the host on the show today so that she could talk about the significance of healing among our nation, to give ourselves an opportunity to heal so that we can move forward and be able to make an impression in the earth to prepare for our exodus. Sister Emuna, would you like to take it over from here?
Oh, great. Like she said, Sister Yaina said, it is definitely a passion of mine. Even before I knew it, it was, you know, even back when I was Most High willing, leading me through the church, and I had that desire to, you know, see our people elevate in the area of not only just knowledge, but emotional healing and physical healing, anything that has to do with healing. I wanted to start off today. And this is an interactive thing, so everybody feel free to, you know, call in or let us know your thoughts. But I wanted to start off today by reading a short narrative that I found, a slave narrative. And then if we can hear what is your emotions or your feelings concerning it. And it's rather short, but they say stories stick with us. So I wanted to do a short slave narrative about a slave woman that they did a project in America back in the 30s. Where they cataloged over 2,400 ex-slaves narratives about their experience in slavery. And being that this is our nearest experience of the catastrophe of being in slavery, I mean, we went through the civil rights, but this is like where we were physically, mentally, emotionally in bondage. And I see that a lot of our baggage, okay, I'll just stop there and I'll read the story and then we can talk, Sister Yaina. So it says here, her name is Sarah Frances Shaw Graves and she's 87. I was born March 23, 1850, in Kentucky, somewhere near Louisville. I'm going on 88 years right now, and this was in 1937. I was brought to Missouri when I was 6 months old, along with my mother, who was a slave, who was owned by a man named Shaw, who allotted her to a man named Jimmy Graves, who came to Missouri to live with his daughter, Emily Graves Croads. I also live with Emily. So they wanted to know more about allotment. She says, yes, allotted. I'm going to explain that, she replied. You see, there are slave traders in those days, like you got a horse or a mule or an auto trader today. They bought and sold slaves and hired them out. Yes, rented them out. Allotted means something like hired out, but the slave never got no wages. That all went to the master, the man they allotted to pay the master. I was never sold. My mother was sold only once, but she was hired out many times. Yes, when a slave was allotted, someone made a down payment and gave a mortgage for the rest, a chattel mortgage. Yeah. Lastly, she says, allotments made a lot of grief for slaves, Aunt Sally asserted. We left my papa in Kentucky because he was allotted to another man. My papa never knew where my mama and me went, and my mama never knew where my papa went. Aunt Sally paused a moment, then went on bitterly. They never wanted Mama to know, because they know she would never marry so long as she knew where he was. Our master wanted her to marry again and raise more children to be slaves. They never wanted Mama to know where Papa was, and she never did. And that was Sarah Frances Shaw Graves, 87 years old, in 1937. Her testimony about what she remembered about her life. And I wanted to read it because I wanted to know what emotions, if any, did that strike in us, you know? Because
anger.
It's a wound. Anger? If
anger. Mm-hmm.
Anger. Anything else? It's like somebody, I posted it online, someone told me sadness. Somebody told me that was a really, actually two people told me it was a really sad story. You're telling me anger. You know, my mother corresponded and told me that she began to get angry. And I was studying that learning emotions are tied to learning, of how we learn. And it's like healing is a wound, which is a negative. And we're trying to get back to a holistic balance, which is making sure that we're in order. And so it's good that we feel these emotions, but now to me in this process that I'm learning is to understand why we feel these emotions. And if we're feeling anger or if we're feeling sadness, who are we feeling it towards? You know, who is it directed at? Because if we have anger, it's directed somewhere because anger comes from hurt, you know. So is it directed at the person who's doing this? Is it directed at, like some would say, why God, or somebody say, why Most High, why me? Or is it directed at ourselves? Where is the anger directed? Because I see today us as a people, we have a lot of misdirected emotions. And we seem to take it out on one another because of the way in which we were raised in this slavery system. You know, we couldn't take it out on master because you get beat. You understand? So you take it out on your children, or we take it out on one another. And in this case, what jumped out to me was that she said that she knew if she knew where her father would have went, she would have never married again. And so someone forced us to break a covenant for their own means so that she can procreate and make more slaves. You know? So there's so much here in this one little story of this woman that a lot of us, me personally, I don't know the full story of where I'm coming from, but what came up to me was that this is in our DNA. We don't maybe know why we are distrustful of women, or we don't know why we have marital relational problems, or we don't know why. You understand? But it's in our DNA because it has been downloaded to us. And in order for us to truly heal, in my estimation, is we have to begin to ask the Most High to discover or unveil these things that are in our subconscious. You know, these things that they call, what they would call generational curses. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, you know what? I have a comment that I would like to say, and that is why I don't think people understand how serious the reversal of the curse is, because, like you said, a covenant was broken. A man and a wife separated, and she was sent off to give birth to other children and to marry someone else, and he was sent off to marry someone else. So the bringing back of the whole family unit is something that's going to be phenomenal, because the anger I think that we feel is that no one ever paid for what they did. You know, we feel like we should be vindicated because we felt like a wrong was done to us. You know, even though the Most High said that we were supposed to have this happen, you know, no one ever has paid for the fact that they deliberately split up the family. But the scripture says that, you know, a man would watch his family leave and there would be nothing he could do about it.
Yes.
You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But it still makes you angry because we're scattered all over the place. Now, that woman has brothers and sisters somewhere that her father has fathered, and she has brothers and sisters that her mother has had with someone else. So it's a big, gigantic mess that only the Most High will be able to straighten out.
Okay, I agree that, but he said he's just in that whatever they did to us, we did to us. Because he says just weights and balances is my delight. So whatever they did to us, we did to us. When it is that he began to recount what our brothers and sisters were doing to one another, you know, what they were doing to their children when they were sacrificing them in the groves and on the beamers and on the high places, and then we come here and people are sacrificing our children. He says, just weights and balances is my delight. And I know at times it seems like a hard pill to swallow, but that's why I asked the question, and I even asked myself, who am I mad at? I give an example because I like to tell stories. My daughter, or you have a child, and that child has done something wrong, and you put them in punishment. And you chastise them, and you put them in punishment. Now they're in the room, and they're angry, and they're throwing down stuff, and they're throwing tantrums, and they're carrying on, and you come to the door and ask them, who are you mad at? Who are you, you know what I'm saying? And if you are mad at me, do you understand why you were chastised? I'm not saying that we're not hurt. We're definitely hurt. But the question I think we're addressing today is, how do we realistically go about healing that hurt without misdirecting who's responsible for the hurt?
Shalom,
right,
shalom.
I
this,
agree.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia.
Shalom, brother. Adonia. How are you today?
I'm told. I want to weigh in on that. You know, our only salvation is in our Creator.
Okay.
And the way for us to get out of that is to understand what had happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding what's happening now to us, and then we have to go to the Almighty. You understand? To allow Him to give us some peace with that understanding, because you know, in the beginnings when you hear it, you know. You hear what had happened to her. You view what's going on with us, and it angers you. But we have to understand where our power lies. Our power lies in the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And He said, in order for us to get out of this, we must trust in Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. So those are the things that can alleviate the pain. It's not an overnight solution.
True.
You have to work at it, and you got to want to work, and you got to want to relieve the pain also, because, you know, there's no sense in going to the Almighty and still carrying that baggage around with you, you understand, of the hatred. That hatred, you understand, leads you to do some things that can walk contrary to the Almighty.
Yeah.
So those things if you go to the Almighty, He will. Relieve you from the pain and probably give you a better feeling about yourself. Matter of fact, you know, when I heard about all of these things that's happening and how I view what's going on today, you understand, once I've taken on the understanding of the Almighty and know that this is His program. He wants the glory from the whole earth. When David messed up, you understand, that gave him the opportunity to put in his plan to get the glory from the whole earth. And that's what's happening now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I agree. Do you have something to say, Sister Yaina?
She probably has her phone on mute.
Phone on mute.
Oh, I was just going to say we have a caller on the line who push one, so whenever you're ready to let them on, let me know.
Okay, they can come on up and let us hear what they have to say.
Area code 813, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening to the family. My comment was, having been through the whole issue, and when we talk about just weights and balances, for me, my issue was, okay, what my four parents did in the past, they break the law, break the covenant, and their children, their offspring, were brought into a foreign land. I have a problem with them having to suffer the way they did and then say, oh, that was just waste and balances, because when they had no idea, especially the generation today, what their foreparents did, I can't accept that as just waste and balances.
Okay. That's interesting. You know what I would suggest, because at first, to me, when I look, what we are presented with in the media is one avenue or one outtake. And when we think of slavery, I picked this story because, you know, it's a lot of the things that happen across the board. But when you go into, and this is at the Library of Congress, where it is that we can go and read these stories, you have some slaves who tell you, I never got beat. You have some slaves who tell you, I never got sold. You have some slaves who tell you, my life was not that hard. So even in the captivity, there are some descendants of those who were scattered that did not endure the same level, because the Most High said He's just. So they give us the thought or the perception that everybody was hung up, everybody was beat, everybody was eating ham hocks and chitlins, when the reality is that's not true. And I found it interesting that the Most High allowed them to put on record. It was 2,400 narratives, and it took them however long to record this throughout the whole South, you know, before these ex-slaves died. And on their own on their own testimony, not everyone endured the same level of slavery. And I say that to say to your thing that just weights and balances from when I read that to me, then it's the same thing. Some of the prophets went into captivity, but they did not endure as other people did. Because the Most High again told us that he's going to punish us according to our iniquities. So, yes, if it was a rebellious person who did not accept, there's another part in the scripture, does not accept the punishment of their iniquity, then that person is going to endure more than the person who is like, yes, Most High, this is, like he said, go back and put your neck under the rule of the king of Babylon and serve your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so from what I'm seeing, there is it's just not a broad brush of all that happened. We just hear the more horrific stories and don't hear the other stories.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia once again. I wanted to say, so we talking about this captivity here too, because a lot of us is doing well. They never suffered none of the punishments and none of those chattel slavery punishments. Some of us own land right here today. You understand?
Yes.
So they're not ready to submit and say that they've been captive. You understand? You know, when we say we're going back to the land, you understand, they're not even aware of that. You understand? So it's in the same vein as what's going on today.
Okay.
I would have to disagree. I have to chime in on this because I would have to literally disagree because, I mean, excuse me, the movie that they came out with 12 Years of Slavery.
Right.
You know, they depict this black man, as though he was a free man, and we know there were free men back in those times. He was illegally sold into slavery and went through all of the trauma of a person that was actually deliberately sold into slavery. And what that did to me was that separated us and segregated us to the point where it made it appear as though some of us didn't go through what the rest of us went through. And I have to beg to differ because as much as he was free, he still suffered from the atrocities and from the psychological and mental anguish that we went through because no one ever was punished for what they did to him. And even though we have black people that own businesses today and they own land today and they're astute and very famous and wealthy and all of that, there is still residue there to let them know that they are black or to let them know they are Negro. The residue from the curse, and the curse itself has not went away, even though they've had an opportunity to experience some of the better things in life, they still are suffering. And for instance, Oprah Winfrey. When Oprah Winfrey went over in, I don't think it was she in Paris or somewhere, and she wanted to go in the store to buy a purse, the lady told her she couldn't afford it. She told her she couldn't afford the purse. She didn't even know who she was, but the fact she was black. It's a stereotypical language that goes all across the world. And I had a young man from Israel tell me that we were no longer in captivity. And I had to beg to differ with him. I said, that's not true. He said, nobody's holding you captive. You can leave whenever you want to leave. And my response to him was, you're allowed to change locations, but the struggle is still the same all over the world. Black people are being mistreated. Even the wealthy is being mistreated. So I don't think that it's fair to say, well, some of them didn't go through certain things. They still were sold, even though they may not have been sold multiple times. They still were raped because even though it may not have been loaned out to the man down the street or the man down, they were still treated as though they were slaves. They was just what they would call house niggas. So, I mean, we have to really be careful with segregating the punishment because we all suffer from it right now today, even no matter how much money you have. And that's the problem that I think we're running into now is that people want to say, well, that don't apply to me because I'm living good. Yes, it does. It applies to you. It applies to all of us because we have children that are coming up that may not be afforded the opportunities that you have, and they're going to have to go through the very same thing because the curse is perfect, and no one can change it until the Most High does so. And that's my point of view.
That's point taken. I think what it's, for instance, when the Most High said, Judah, I'm going to judge you more because you saw what your sister did and you came and did it worse. And so where I'm coming from is that there's levels to, that's why it says just weights and balances. Where I'm coming from, there's levels. The Most High said, Judah, you saw and you were warned, and Israel went out first and went astray, and you came and did worse than she did. There's one thing from the king who is sitting in a place and he knows what he's doing, and the person who may have followed the king, the judgment are not going to be, they're not going to be weighed the same. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to be weighed the same. So I think what I'm saying in this instance is not that they don't have any residue. It's the level or the degree of the treatment. Like what the brother just said, if everybody didn't do the same crime, why is everybody being treated the same way? And what we're seeing in some of these papers is everybody was not treated the same way. Although you are all in captivity, you are all not being treated in the same manner. There's some people tonight who go to bed without food, and there's some people tonight who go to bed with a full stomach. You're all still in America, but you're all not enduring the same exact thing, and that's really what I was trying to say with that, is that you understand what I'm saying?
Well,
there's levels.
Shalom, let me go a step further here. If we could go back to the time when they were in Africa and taking slaves, that's a bigger remembrance than anything. See, we forgot those days. Those days where we were chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered, and half of them was thrown over the ships,
the side of the ship,
back into the water. So most of us have forgotten that particular era. They waxed fat and kicked. So they really, when you say slave, they don't have they have very little understanding about any kind of slave. And feeling of and what they feel, you understand, is that that never happened. They put that in the back of their mind as though it never happened. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if I may, and then I wanted, and just like Abronia just said, and to me came the, we're talking about healing. Why I brought up the slavery is because it invokes emotions in us. And emotions is just like if you got a cut or a bruise and I touched it, you say, ow, that means you felt it. If it is now that we bring up the punishment, which we know that the Most High left on the record, is the curses, and we still are saying, ow, this is why we're having this discussion today, we're in need of healing. But so, and it's the question that came to my mind is, well, what is the steps? What is the? Because everybody, you know, we like this pie in the sky thing, but how do we systematically get to that point of where it is now? Like a brother Adonia said, yes, Most High healed me, but the question is from what? You know, if we want specifics, then we have to ask for specifics. And so I came with the triple A's of healing. You know, like triple A, you break down, you need triple A. Is the first one is to acknowledge that we need it. Acknowledge, because like you said, some of us are living fat and we don't even think we need anything. We think we're fine. We don't need to go. This is not the land of our captivity. So the acknowledgement that we are physically and mentally and spiritually affected by what we went through, admitting it, which it would be to confess, yes, to the Most High first and foremost, to ourselves and to our brothers and sisters. To say, yes, I have issues with mother and daughter relation. Yes, I have issues with sister to sister. Yes, I have issues with, you know, marital. Yes, I have these type of issues. So we can hold each other accountable for mending these issues. And lastly, I came up with to accept it, you know, to accept that this is where we are. And, yes, this is where we're trying to get to, but we have to acknowledge. We can't just say, no, that's not me. No, you're not hearing what you're hearing. No, you're not seeing what you're seeing, because that's not really what getting us anywhere. A lot of times we come together, but then after these issues spring up, we fall apart. And then we come together again, and then after the issues spring up, we fall apart again. And until we heal, in my estimation, until we truly desire to heal, and that Most High, the Most High puts that healing within us, because he said he would heal us, that's the only way we can really move forward in unity. I stepped down. Anybody have anything to add or say?
Well, I think that's true. I just wonder if the healing is going to take place here. I'm not quite sure if the healing will... eventually take place here, or will it take place once we leave here? Because, I mean, you know, until the conditions here get bad, even the people who think they're living good won't come into the realization that the prophecies are real and the journey is real. So until, because I think the situation is going to have to get bad for some of us before we can say, okay, this is not the land of the free, and this is not, you know, what I thought it was going to be. You know, so I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen here or it's going to happen when we get to the location that he wants us to be at, so that he can actually plead with us face-to-face, because we have to understand, too, we're people that's been psychologically trained and programmed. Even our learning has been programmed. You know, the things we watch on television has programmed us and has directed us a certain way and to seek after certain things. So that there has to be, with any time you have a group of people that have been propagandized, I guess if that's the correct word to use, you have to do some deprogramming, because it's going to be very difficult to take these people from this state of mind into a state of mind to say, wow, you know, it really wasn't what I thought it was going to be, or wow, I think we need to readdress how we look at things. There has to be some deprogramming done before you can get to that point, and I don't see that happening here. I could be wrong, but I don't know.
I mean, I would say that I see the deprogramming happening. The deprogramming is happening now when we become aware that we can't eat everything we see. The deprogramming is happening now when we realize that, yes, we are in the matrix. It's happening now when we're having these discussions. There is some of our brothers and sisters out there who will not even venture to have this discussion. And so to me, it's like when, because I study about physical healing, for instance, you have to detoxify. And this is the detoxification. So I would say that the healing process begins in the acknowledgement that we need healing. So, and that's what is going on now. There is a lot of our people who are waking up and beginning in on the physical level, in the dietary areas, in the exercise areas. They're beginning to, you know, plug out from certain old paradigms that no longer work. So I would beg to differ to say that a great thing is happening as we speak. And it is an awakening for those who desire to return, because some of our people are returning on some level. They may not know themselves as Israel yet, but they have an inclination to, you know, mental health. They have an inclination to emotional health. They have an inclination to physical health and spreading it to our people. So I would say that, you know, there is a healing going on. And the detoxification process is, it seems to make us sicker before it makes us better. So, you know, I would say that I do see it. I do see it actually happening.
And that's possible. You know, it's happening on a certain scale. But when you think about the church, you know, and the people that are waking up in the church, you know, to come into the knowledge that you're Hebrew Israelite, and to come into the knowledge that that's what your ethnicity is, then to come into the knowledge of the law, understanding the dietary laws, understanding the ceremonial laws and the moral laws and all of those laws that are there for us. When you come into that knowledge, it takes a minute for a person that has been programmed to worship a certain way, to believe a certain way, to actually accept it. They accept it on a level that they're willing to accept it. But, you know, like I said, the Most High has to take you and push you all the way in there to say this is what it is and this is how it operates. So I agree with you. It is, the deprogram is happening by the awakening of the people, you know. But for some that have wealth, that have money, that have houses, that have reached the American dream, that are CEOs of companies and doing certain things, it's going to take something for those people, I think, to really wake up.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. Okay. See, we're at the infant stage of our development. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
What will really bring people around is the recognition of a better way, a better world, or United Nations of Yehuda is trying to put in place things that would show everybody the better way. See, we're supposed to be a light unto the other nations. And if we learn how to work with one another and build a structure that people can see that the nation is building up, and we supposed to come up and they're supposed to go down. We supposed to be giving praise and glory from all the other nations. You understand? And that's only going to happen as we start to move forward in our development. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What? Everybody's quack?
I was waiting to see. I didn't want to jump in there. I was waiting to see if anybody else had anything
please,
to say.
By all means, jump in.
There was a doctor. It's a sister. And why I say, because often I ask the Most High, what's wrong with Yisrael? I do music as well, and I put it in my music all the time, asking the question, and it says, asking you shall receive. You know, it's been a long time that I've been asking, what's wrong with our people? We're getting the knowledge. We can spit the history on the drop of a dime. I've known brothers who, you know, quote scriptures with no book, you know, and they'll read it down to you, but then you see the behavior. And ever since I came in this way, and I'm like, what is wrong with Israel? And that would be my question from day to day today. What is wrong with the nation? And the most I begin I went and looked into the book of Deuteronomy again and looked at the 28th chapter in Leviticus 26 and began to look at the curses in a different way, because a lot of people look at the curses and say, oh, here are the curses. That means that we're Israel. So, and then I say, well, if you're Israel, that means at this point you're cursed until the curses have been repealed. So we're so busy running around trying to show everybody, see, this is us, we're not realizing the implications of that being us. And when I began to ask the Most High to show me more, he showed me that how socially, economically, physically, mentally, emotionally we are affected by what happened. In just a simple case of the slave narrative that I read, there's so many feelings that I could say today they were classified as a disorder. When you have to be in fear that you're being enslaved, you're going to have some kind of anxiety disorder. You know, when you're in fear that, you know, somebody's going to violate you, like what happens to people who are violated and women who are violated, you're constantly on guard all the time. When your loved ones are being ripped out of your hands, when you have no ability or no strength in your hand, that puts you into depression. And today they would classify that as some need to come into my office and let me give you a pill. But there was a doctor lady, a woman who does, she doesn't know herself to be Israel, but she wrote a book that's called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome that talks about, correct. You heard about that book?
Yes, I know about that book. That's why I tell everybody today about Dr. Lori.
Yes,
who?
That's her. Kane.
Yeah.
That's her. And these are the things that we need to branch out. Torah is everywhere. I come up and understand that Torah is everywhere. If I step outside of my door, that's Torah. If I look at the tree, that's Torah. If I look at the sky, that's Torah. The Most High's wisdom is everywhere and in everywhere. So these people, we try to sectionize or compartmentalize our return. But because we have been stricken, like another sister likes to say, from the head to the toe, then we have to look into certain modes of thinking and understanding to really get an understanding of what went wrong with us and what is continuing to be perpetuated. And I would just like to boil it down to the individual, because if we look at the nation, a lot of times we will become discouraged. But if we boil it down to the individual that makes up the nation, which is our individual selves, and that's what the book, I put in my spirit to write, and it's available on Amazon. I wrote it back in 2005, actually, when I was like 25 years old, and I published it in 2010, and it's a self-help journal of where it is that it just prompts you with questions and you begin to answer them, because I like to bring it back to self. Self-awareness, Because if we look outside of ourselves all day long, of course we can point the finger and see everything that's wrong with everyone and everybody. But when we begin to look within, now we're talking about heavy-hitting stuff. Because we have to face ourselves. We have to face our reality. And it's only then that we can connect with the Creator who is within us. And the healing process will begin. But until that point, all we're going to be doing is really, to my estimation, what I've been seeing us doing as a nation is paying, ping pong. I hit it over here. You say it's because you're not doing this. And the women say it's because the men are not doing this. And the men say it's because the women are not doing this. And the reality is, we each have to take accountability for ourselves and begin to have that desire to want to be healed. And like Brother Adonia said, if we don't want it, then it's not coming. If my health is not well and I want it to be well, then I will begin to do the things, I will stretch toward the things that's going to improve my health. But if my health is not well and I don't want to change anything about it, then I'm going to remain as I am no matter how much I pray.
That is correct.
That's kind of what I wanted to bring to the people today, is that go not in a selfish way, but we need to clean up our own houses, our own minds, our own existence. And may the Most High bless, if we still have fathers and mothers who are alive and grandparents, these are our resources that we can talk to and begin to get more understanding about who we are, in the sense of before I came into creation, before I was born, what was the environment? I did this back in 2005, and I remember my parents looking at me like, what is wrong with this child? You know, because I wanted to know what was the environment that I came into. This also goes into who am I as a person. You know, how were you feeling when you were pregnant with me? This goes into why I think the way I think, why I move the way I move. You understand? What am I, a firstborn or am I a secondborn? Am I the last child? This information about birth order, whether or not you're a leader or whether or not you're a follower, that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. You get to understand who you are more. And when we understand and come into our purpose and begin that healing process, and then we link with another person who has already did that journey, now we're talking power. So we're not going to be tripping over one another's egos or walking on eggshells. Now we can work, because we're a nation that has been divided, a nation that has been come against, but now the power is in our hands to turn that around. And like Brother Adonia said, it's basically if we want it.
Okay.
Anybody have any?
If anyone has a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. If you're in the chat room, we can see the board. If you'd like to ask a question, we'd like to have a response from you. And I agree with all of that. I do. I agree with every bit of that. But the only problem is, though, is that even through the awakening, there are so many other things that we have to address that's going on around us. And when you have the world around you closing in on you, it becomes a matter of survival. And when you're in survival mode, it's very, very, very difficult to focus on anything else. And that's why we try to bring a balance to our show and the things that is going on, because we have to let people know how to multitask, because you're going to have to learn how to keep your mind focused. You're going to have to learn how to quickly forgive and keep it moving and be able to be prayerful enough to understand where we are, when to move, when to stay, when to do whatever. I don't think we're going to have a long time to spend on even forgiving one another. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to come down to a matter of whether or not you had the blood over the doorpost or not.
I mean, those who of us who are just waking up, yeah, it's late in the day.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. It's like the school bus is outside, and you better brush your teeth, wash your face, put on your clothes, and grab something and go through the door that quick. Because of the time that you have woken up, it is late in the game. However, based on my experience of someone who, back in 2008, the family is like, let's go, before all of this started getting
to
the level
that they are
wanting
us to wake up and come together. Are they forget?
Come again? I missed that one. Maybe the brother will speak again.
I don't know. Area code 813, you wanted to make a comment. Your phone is open. Maybe he was talking to someone else. Let me put his phone on mute.
I
what were you saying now?
I said I actually experienced leaving this country and living overseas in Ethiopia for 8 years. And I'm telling from experience. Once you run or go to wherever it is you're going and have a moment of stillness, you will be faced, as our forefathers were, in the wilderness with personalities, egos, and energies that are unresolved. And this in itself will destroy you. Because so it is absolutely imperative for this, because one thing to know what everybody else is doing is the next thing to know what we are doing, not only physically getting prepared, but also making sure that when you get to where you're getting to, that you're not the rebel rouser. When you get to where you're getting to, you're not the chronic complainer. When you get to where you're getting to, you're not the one that's full of lust. You're not the one that's full of envy and covetousness. These things don't just disappear and dissipate. These things take actual work to begin to change around, because it will destroy the people. It will eat away and erode at the fabric of any community. And so,
I am fascinated at that point. Hallelujah.
That is true, but then at the same time, and I always have to be the voice of others. At the same time, though, when they left Egypt, all of those things that you just described was in them when they left. And when they got to the place where they were going, when they got to the place where they were confronted with the Most High, that was an easy fix, because you know what he did? He separated those, the complainers, the ground opened up and swallowed them up. Those that were ready to go with Moshe and continue with what he was going to do, they were able to go. I think that the personality changes and the things that we have to change within ourselves, you're right, it's going to take prayer, and we need to address them and deal with them head on, because it may be to your own demise if you take it with you, because it didn't affect the masses. All it did was, if you persuaded the masses to follow you, then they will perish. They perished with you. So it's almost like, you know, we have an individual responsibility, because he tells you not to complain. We have an individual responsibility to be obedient to ourselves, you know, and we have an individual responsibility to forgive and keep it going and harbor nothing in your heart. But they did all those things. They complained. They built the golden calf. They dressed it with gold. They danced around it. They did all kind of stuff. And when the Most High saw what they were doing and Moshe came down from instructions on the mountain, it was an easy fix. He just did away with them.
I wouldn't say
simple.
Easy.
I mean, you know, because you
say easy, because I would beg to differ on that one. A lot of people perished. And I would say that the lesson I learned, and I like to always say, save Joshua and Caleb, they were working on self. When they were in Egypt, they were working on self. And it was evident, because the wilderness, in a Hebraic understanding, is for the purging. And it's where wisdom begins to open within the mind of the individual. It's where the heat comes on. It's where you are tested. And because they were doing their mental and spiritual exercises when they were under the oppression, they were prepared for when they went into the wilderness. I bid no one to just go out into the wilderness without first preparing yourself, or to step out without, because this is every day we have an opportunity to change. We think it's, every day we have an opportunity to make a different choice once we begin to apply ourselves, because at the end of the day, Sister Yaina, for me, there's some who may not make it, as our brother Moshe, who the Most High said, go up and you know, look over, but you're not going in. At the end of the day, it's about that soul, that soul elevation.
That's true. I agree with
you. So that soul needs to make sure that when the Most High, because everybody passes at different times, we're only, and that's why my musical name is Sojourner, because we're only sojourning here, whether it be for 50, whether it be for 12 or 100, we're only sojourner, and at the end of the day, we have to be accountable for what it is that we did here and what it is that we didn't do. So at the forefront of my mind is soul elevation. And that is something that needs to be, because we can run away from whatever it is that somebody else is having for us, but we didn't elevate as a soul. And so
I agree with you. I agree 100%. I'm not in disagreeing with you.
I know,
I
just wanted to, you know,
person.
Bring that out, that the soul. We're talking about souls here, and we need to know that is important. A man who overcomes himself is better than somebody that takes a city. That's talking about spiritual growth. That was one of my beefs with the churches. I'm like, where is the real talk about spiritual growth? And spiritual growth, when the new covenant says that no one shall say, know ye the Most High. So how is it that they're all going to know me when they're not in touch with themselves, when they're not in touch with the creator that resides within? And that takes a level of meditation. That takes a level of dedication. That takes a level of wanting to know. And so I think as a nation, we need spiritual growth from the children of Israel, you know, to Israel. We need to concentrate on that spiritual growth, because it's going to open the doors of the blessings, you know.
I agree. I'm not in disagreement with you. I agree 100%, but it's just individual, because when you talk about people growing and people coming to a certain level, everybody graduates at a different time. Some people get there. Some people never get there. I was just having this conversation with someone today. You know, some people die and never get there. Some people died in Christianity and never came into the knowledge of the Hebrew ethnicity at all. You know, we were talking about what happens to those people who never heard it, those people who never had a chance to experience it, you know, and it's an individual thing. As much as you, it's just like being in church. If, for instance, we used to have prayer service. You know, we would tell people the importance of prayer. Come out for prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer does this. Prayer does that. But at the end of the day, it had maybe 10, 15 people out of 50 that actually showed up and came out. You know, and it has to be important to the individual to understand, you know, that this is the journey that we have to take. And unfortunately, again, everybody's not going to get there.
But that's something, to me, I've come to the point where I know there's a part in the Apocrypha when one of the prophets was crying, and the response was, do you think you care about these people more than me? And then the response is, I know who they are. The most I said, this is a rebellious breed. I know who they are. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to come to that acceptance, but the reality is this is who we are as a people. And if it is that we want to be that percentage like the Joshuas and the Calebs, until we work on the individual, we cannot focus on the collective. Because one thing I like to always say is broken bricks don't build strong houses. You can't use broken bricks to say you're going to build a fort. It's not going to work. So we focus on the individual, and then that builds the nucleus, which is the man and the woman. They come together. They build a strong family. That strong family builds a strong community. And so
that's
it boils back down.
In a perfect world, that's how it happens. But unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world, and we have to do it the way the Most High tells us to do it, because at the end of the day, like you said, he knows who we are.
He knows.
He told us to gather ourselves together, O nation, not desire. So he knows the situation in the state that we're in. And unfortunately, we have to be obedient and gather ourselves together as a nation. And we're coming full of all kind of issues. Some are going to be jealous. Some are going to be envious. Some are going to be
the issues are
going to
come. But he also said he's going to purge out the rebels in the wilderness. So,
we
gather ourselves.
But we got to get there first, you know. So
yeah, Cain, I'm not. I agree with
that's
you.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, Shalom. This is Adonia.
Go ahead, Brother Adonia. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was going to almost say the same exact thing. But, see, we have to look at the times that we in right now. And how do we tell the times that we in? By what is happening with the weather? What is happening with the day, how fast the days are going by. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The Almighty said that he was going to hasten the days, you understand, till his wrath. You understand? All right. He also said that he was going to gather the people. That's our job. He inspired us to do certain things, gather us together. You understand? And right now we're in the process of gathering ourselves to find out how we can work together, because it's going to take more than just a Hebrew Israelite. It's going to take a bunch of other folks with some knowledge of some understanding here. You understand? And it has to start in an area, area where the problems are. You understand? Why I say that is because as we start developing and moving forward in our development, you understand, people are going to be able to see who we are. You understand? Now, he did say, and at some point, you understand, the Almighty will steer us in the directions to our homeland. And in the course of us going there, He's going to purge out all the rebels. There's going to be people that want to go to the land with their selfish means that's going to latch on to going to the land, free transportation, and they can get there and run them up. There's going to be people like that. But they got to be purged out. And you know how they're going to be purged out? When they get there to that land and see how much work going to need to be done. That has turned back a bunch of folks. You understand? So it's going to start here, you understand, and then it's going to go to the land. The Almighty is going to purge out all of those rebels. The ones that stick there, you understand, that believe in the Almighty with all their heart and soul is the one that's going to develop that land and develop and get the double blessing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, you know, it's like history repeats itself, and we're on our way back through the same journey. And it's going to take some perseverance, and I don't think it's going to be as easy as a lot of people think it's going to be. But
that
the fact that we're going as a nation, and it's going, like he said, it's going to reveal. Because, see, a lot of people, I heard someone say that adversity builds character. No, it reveals character. It lets you know who you really are, and it's going to expose what's in your heart. And it boils down to either you trust him or you don't. I mean, it's just simple as that. And people complain now, even here, before they get ready to leave, why they have it going on right now. Well, where is he? Well, why do I have to go through this? Well, he's never going to show up. And even though he said he was coming, I don't see it. And we tell everybody, just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it's not true, because he's not a man that he should lie, a God that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. You got churches that was going on today that we constantly reassure people that his word is valid and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So it's human nature, but you know what? He has a way. Like you said, he knows we're rebellious people. He's going to purge them out. You know, because only those that are righteous are going to be able to experience the bliss that's coming out of all of this once it's over.
That is correct.
I agree, and I just wanted to, on the topic that we were talking about today with the healing, is just to give, like it's saying, the heads up that it's work. The Most High is going to, but he's going to, he said he will heal us. He said he will gather us and he will purge us and he will make us clean. However, to be righteous is work. You know, it is work, because it's internal work. And that's, I think, what I'm speaking to today is not the case of what is currently going on. And I'm not saying that totally close your blind eye and don't understand what's going on, but understand that it is work. It is, they say that when we have a thought. Why is it hard? I looked up one time to break habits. Because when we have a thought, and that thought is like a water course, and we keep doing the same behavior, it makes kind of a groove in the mind. And anytime something that relates to that thought comes, it goes in that groove, and we end up doing the same thing. In order to make a change, we have to be conscious, which is work. And we have to consciously choose another path, because a lot of times we take the path that feels good. For instance, if we have anger problems and we thought that dealing with it is just blurting it out and you know, hurling words at the individual in hopes to hurt them, in order for that individual to change, that individual now has to come out of the subconscious mind and become conscious of your words and to govern your spirit, which is work. And that is the work that anywhere we go, at any time we go, when we have a moment to sit down, that's going to be the work that's going to determine who's staying and who's going. And I'm talking about on an individual level today. You know, for myself, when I'm saying this to you all, it's not something that I haven't sat down and begin to work on myself and begin to say that certain things are not going to fly. And if I want to be in that number, if I want to be like David said, if I want to, who can enter in the house of the Most High, then I have to make sure that I'm checking myself. You know what I'm saying? So that we will be what, because otherwise else is we're laboring in vain. Because unless the laborer unless the Most High builds the house, we're laboring in vain. And I pray that it is that we've come this far that we're not laboring in vain. And so that's why I was really highlighting the healing and the fact that it's going to take individual work and individual assessment and individual, you know, each person and things that we may reprove another, one another. It's not for to tear down each other. It's to say, brother, possibly you want to look into this. Sister, possibly. And we're supposed to have to be able to take that. If we can't take that, we can't work together. You know, if we can't take correction or reproof, we're not going to be able to work together. Somebody's going to get offended. They're going to walk off, and then, you know, and then the ego is going to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And this, what when we look at, when I look at all the movements, why they have failed in times past, I look at Marcus Garvey's movement. I look at the civil rights movement. And you look at what's going on. We put all and everything on one individual, and when that individual steps out of place, it all comes tumbling down. Because a lot of times we don't want to take accountability for ourselves, for our actions and what we do and what we don't do. And there's a level of self-government that I see in the book of Jeremiah 31:31. There's a level of that self-government that's going to have to be in place. I'm sorry. Okay.
I agree. I mean, I agree with you 100%. All of that is true. You know, we don't disagree with any of that. I think that that is definitely true, you know, and we agree with you. But, again, you know, when you talk about individual growth and you talk about individuals, people usually only change when situations are bad. You know, you may have some that are born out of decent situations, but for the most part, people usually change when situations are bad, and that's when you get their attention. And a lot of people are going to have to go through that. You know, those character changes will happen when their situations get bad. And unfortunately, that's what it has to happen. That's the only time that, you know, character will be able to be focused upon, because people, as long as things are going good, people always think it's fine, nothing's wrong. You know, and like I said, it's a matter of whether you put the blood on the doorpost, because, you know, even though the mandate went out, that, you know, they had to kill the animal and put the blood on the doorpost. Somebody told their family, we're not wasting that animal. We're going to have to eat that next week. Ain't nobody on what Moshe talking about. We're going to be here next week. And we ain't going to put no blood nowhere. And unfortunately, the firstborn in their family from their animals to the humans died because they weren't obedient. So, I mean, you know, those are the things that we deal with when you deal with the rebellious people. You know, the biggest thing that I could tell them, like you said, in terms of changing your character, is to learn how to be obedient, you know, because even though you may disagree, and don't let your ego get in the way. You know, learn how to forgive so you can move with the crowd, because it can be very, very serious to the point where you listen to someone, even husbands and wives. Some women are married to men that have egos, and whoever that woman was that listened to that husband, and that she was the firstborn of her family, in her family, according to the law, and he didn't put that blood over the doorpost, she was dead in the morning. So it's an individual thing. So, you know, when you talk about a person changing and salvation and all that, it's an individual thing. And at some point, you got to make your mind up, I'm going to change me. Even if you don't change, I'm going to change me. But most of all, I'm going to be obedient, because this is a matter of life and death now. You know, and it's serious to the point where we don't have a whole lot of more. We don't have 20 more years to play with this. We don't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? A nation is literally going to be born in a day. We don't have 20 more years to argue on the street corners and to beg with the people to wake up. The Most High is going to wake the people up, and when they do, it's going to be a matter of whether or not you put the blood on the doorpost or not. It's going to be a matter of, are you coming or are you staying?
I mean, that's just how serious
it is. It's a whole lot of things that are changing right now. Like the sister said, Imana said, you know, we have got to change our attitude so that our attitude doesn't cause us to be left behind. Because those people died because somebody had an attitude. That's the part that scares me the most. You know, because everybody want to be the boss, and everybody's trying to be the head of something, and everybody's trying to run something. But are your intentions truly for the people? Because the main thing we focus on is preparing the people. We don't have all the answers. We just know that we've been mandated to build a nation. And in that mandate, we try to do things and say things to get people ready to let them know what time it is, the fact that we don't have that much time, and to start preparing your mind mentally to be able to walk away from all this stuff.
And that's another thing that people can be doing at this point, if it is that they really, it's one thing if we walk away because we see it coming. If we walk away in a hurry without first detaching truly, you're going to look back. And so when you do have the opportunity, when individuals do have the opportunity, it is better for you to cut down your load than somebody else forcibly put it upon you. And so if you are a consummationist, I like to call them, if you are a pack rat, if you are or somebody who feels the need to have this and have that, that is an issue. And begin to work on it where you are. That's what I learned, is that we can work on a whole lot of things where we are so that we can begin to lighten our load and address those issues. Because there's some people, you begin to say, you know what, you got to get small, you got to minimize your stuff. They'll start hollering and screaming because of an emotional connection to whatever it represents to them. And if they bring that along with them, they're going to be a problem and a burden to all of the people who are currently there. See, what I realized is that, and I'm talking from, like, real experience, you bring individuals, yeah, because you want everybody to come along, but the reality is everybody is not going to come along. And if you bring the wrong people along, it's going to bite you in the end. And so at this point, the Most High is putting his spirit on individuals to say, you know what, you, one from a city, you, two from a family, you, let's go. And the problem is that we are trying to think that we're going to take everybody along with us when they're not ready. And I saw that instance in Lot. Lot came along, but then after a certain point, Lot had to separate because it became a point of contention. And our forefather Abraham in his wisdom said, you know what, you pick east, I'll pick west. You understand? You choose that way, and I'll go this way. And so at this juncture, being that it has been done many times before, the Most High is putting it on the ruach of the individual. So when you meet up with the individual, they're going to be like, ah, man, I just had that thought this morning. You know, I just had that conversation yesterday. It's going to be kindred spirits. It's going to be like-minded individuals that's going to do the work. And I think that will save us from a lot of heartache. And yes, we share the message, but it's going to aliven some. It's going to bring some to, yes, you know what, that's for me to do. And some other people is going to go straight over their heads.
That's true.
Because let me ask you this question,
which brings us to our topic today, because we had something that came across our desk, and we're glad, Brother Donia and I are glad that you're on the line, and we want to know what you feel about this particular situation here and where we fit in right here, because with everything you just said today, which was a wealth of information and very important for us to have, we still come down to the point where things are being done at a rapid pace to usher us into a certain period with the powers that be. Now, listen to this clip, and you tell me what you think about this clip, and Brother Donia, too. Hold on. Here we go. Listen.
Tonight, the American people shout down the GOP leadership on immigration, melting down the Capitol Hill phone lines. Then, will a pandemic or the threat of one be used to create martial law and...
911, what's your emergency?
It's my ex trying to break in.
Anti-Second Amendment ad backfire. All that and more. Tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
You broke in the door. You need to come now.
While Congress was set to vote on House Speaker John Boehner's border bill yesterday, it was a bill that most there in Congress thought was going to actually do more harm than good, but they wanted to vote on something so it would seem like they were doing anything to help this immigration crisis before their five-week vacation. However, America called in, melted down the phone lines on Capitol Hill, demanded their voices to be heard, and then this led to leading conservatives sitting down with representatives of the House leadership to go ahead and hammer out the outline of a revised plan, take it back to the bargaining table. Now, this was largely due to Tea Party conservatives expressing concerns on three main topics: the Deferred Action for Children Arrivals policy, the 2008 Wilberforce Law, and asylum. Now, Representative Michelle Bachmann said that there was no question it was the power of the grassroots pressure on moderates that forced going back to the bargaining table, working on this revised plan. So it just goes to show the power that we do have when we raise our voices, demand our voices be heard, and a simple phone call, calling in to your representative. Now, Congress has planned to stay late on Friday to go ahead and vote on this revised plan, but of course it's kind of playing politics because nothing can really happen with this since the Senate has already adjourned. So basically what the Republicans are hoping is that by them passing this bill or voting on this bill, that it's going to put the pressure now on the Senate and say, see, you guys didn't do anything before you went on vacation. But of course, Democrats just probably adjourned knowing that Obama was going to go ahead and use his pen anyway. Now, while Congress is going to be out on vacation for 5 weeks, this continual flow of illegal immigrants is just continuing to rush the border, and we actually have exclusive footage down there at Karnes City, Texas today. They are already being bussed into their new detention facility that has beautiful flat-screen TVs and barber shops and swimming pools and all sorts of lovely amenities for these residents of the suites. Now, mind you, Karnes City is right near San Antonio, Texas, which on any given night has about 3,000 homeless people in the city. So, of course, those homeless people aren't being bussed to these detention facilities and giving a nice hot meal and flat-screen television. But, of course, this is just becoming the new norm. Now, we've reported on so many of these stories of how illegal aliens are basically living the American dream while people like the homeless there in San Antonio and all across the country are basically suffering. And coming up later in the show, David Knight is going to be speaking with a car salesman who reveals just another one of these ways that illegal aliens are kind of bypassing the law, living the American dream, racking up all kinds of new cars and things like that by using fake Social Security numbers. Now, back to Obama's magic pen. He signed another executive order today, and this one is going to allow for the detention of Americans with respiratory illnesses. Now, of course, this is all coming on the wake of that Ebola scare, and this executive order is titled Revised List of Quarantinable Communicable Diseases, and it amends an executive order that was already in place, passed by George W. Bush in 2003. It allows for the apprehension, detention, or conditional release of individuals to prevent, you know, the transmission or spread of communicable diseases. Well, Obama's amendment will allow for the detention of Americans who just display acute respiratory syndrome. So with the exception of influenza, anyone can be forcibly detained by medical authorities.
All right, what do you say about that? I mean, these are the issues where this is some serious stuff that's going on right now. And a lot of times, Imana, people don't know what's going on, so they passed a law now that's out there now that says because of the Ebola scare, we have immigrants that are being bussed in here from everywhere. They're setting them up, and I was told by somebody, and I don't know whether it's just true or not, but they feel like that they know that it is almost time for us to leave, so they're allowing the immigrants to come in and to be able to replace the labor. I don't know how true that is or not, but what I do know is that this executive order was signed. And, Brother Donia, where do you think they're going to put all those people that they detained?
They got those concentration camps that they already set up. This is a way for them to get us off the street. You know, see, this is all a plan. This is all part of the genocide. You understand? This helps the genocide. You know, they're supposed to be getting rid of 10 million people or 80 million people in 10 years. This is the best way they can do it. They brought that. What could a person possibly be thinking to bring Ebola virus to a place that don't have Ebola virus? That might be the plan for them to start implementing everybody with these Ebola viruses, and not only that. When you made a very good point, you understand. If you got some respiratory problem, it doesn't have to mean that you have Ebola, but you're going to be screened. You understand, and they're going to give you the Ebola virus. You understand? Now, you know what really gets my goat here is that these people is so mean and cruel. Africa been Africa for eons. They've been Africans in Africa. But until the European got there, they didn't have no problem with no diseases like this. Every disease under the sun come through Africa, you understand, AIDS and swine, all the diseases is in Africa now since them Europeans showed up. I wonder why. I wonder what does that mean? you understand? So they're getting ready to do but I trust in the Almighty. You understand? The Almighty is powerful beyond compare. Them people are going to have to pay for all of the atrocities that they're doing. You understand what I'm saying? They trying to annihilate those Palestinians. Although those Palestinians were the nation that kept us captives and sold us to the English and the French, but it's just so horrible for how they're doing it. And those European so-called Jews, you understand, are annihilating those folks. And everybody else is sitting back watching this and patting the Jews on the back, you understand, for that genocide. You understand? And that's what happened in Europe when the Jews got kicked out of Germany because of their immoral acts. They came over, they came to Germany, they broke down and got into the government, man, that wasn't enough. They broke down and started kicking out all the German products and putting their own products in there. That wasn't enough. But when they started with that immorality, that's when Hitler said they got to go. So this is where we at now. We in a bad situation, you understand?
Sir.
And we got to come to a conclusion. It's only, you know, don't sit back and wait for anybody else to do it. We got to pay more attention on us getting out of this mess. You understand? If we do that, we're going to have the people that say that they're sitting on the fence and in between decisions and all of that stuff. You understand? If we stay focused, we're going to get them folks. Hallelujah.
Now, Emuna, knowing that and understanding what you were trying to say today, this president has amended an executive order to for medical responses and medical authorities to detain anyone. That means babies. That means mothers. That means grandmothers, grandfathers, anyone that displays respiratory illnesses. Now, how many people suffer from asthma? How many people suffer from bronchitis? How many people just suffer from pneumonia? That means that all of the people that are suffering from any sort of respiratory illness and they carry a fever, they are being told by medical authorities coming from the White House now to detain these people. There's no way the hospitals are going to be able to hold them. And like Brother Donia and I said, they've had these concentration camps open for years and years and years, and now they're getting ready to start using them. And these are the things that we have to get the people ready for because, like I said, it's going to have to get bad for some people to even realize it's time to stop playing. I mean, you know, it's just time to stop playing. What do you think about that?
I a little bit about myself, like I was saying. For like years, I've been abreast on what's going on, executive orders, what the government is doing, what this is doing, what that is doing. And I remember the same thing, bringing it to the people in 2008. Everybody had this, that, and that to say. I'm a person of action. So I said, you guys could sit here, most I will. And at that time, you know, I said, we're gonna scout out something, whoever is willing to see where it is that we can go and how we can link up with our brothers and sisters. And so we did that. The most I had it that I came back around, and the same stuff is going on. And what I think about what's going on is this. It has been and will continue to go on. And the reality is that the levels, I'm not saying that there isn't a real impending danger. What I'm saying is that the levels and the way in which they're pushing it to us is to put us into a panic fright state. And in a panic fright state, it's either fight or flight. And you're not, when we as a people, the position that we're in, for what I have observed, we are not going to be able to come together and holistically trust in the Most High to get to a place that when we get there, we're sustainable if we allow the push that they're doing to actually work, if you can understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we can't approach this in a frightened state of being. And that was me before, honestly. I heard everything, and it took me to that mindset. And what happened is when you get to where you're going, you're not prepared. When you get to where you're going, you're not going to be prepared to sustain. And one of my things is sustainability. We're not going to be prepared for economics. We're not going to be prepared for schooling our children. We're not going to be prepared. And so right now when we're leaving, the same way the Most High told Moshe, hey, tell them to ask the Egyptians, you know what I'm saying, get yourselves ready because it's about to go down. And that's what it is to me, that we can level-headedly, because like Adonia keeps going back to, I put my trust in the Most High. I'm not going to walk like Skip to Malu, but I'm going to the best of my ability to what the Creator has given me, advise people to calm down only but for a moment so that you could think level-headedly to approach this thing in a way that when you get to where you're going, you're sustainable. Because you jump out of the flyer and you end up in a frying pan. You jump out of a place where you're a stranger and we end up in a place where we're two times a stranger. When we don't know the language and we don't know the culture. And you understand what I'm saying? And then it becomes a point of, it's not what I thought it was going to be. It becomes a point of, you're back to, oh, I should have stayed in America. I should have stayed in Egypt. You see what I'm saying? So the Creator allowed me to see it on a smaller scale, that running like that is not going to get it. But when we walked out and the Most High put his hand, say, hey, y'all back up. And even when they tried to come again, then he dealt with the matter. And so I say to that, don't let us get into that fear frequency. The fear frequency is a lower vibration that keeps us like a deer caught in the headlights. We can't move. And right now we need systematic movements. We need movements that are going to bear fruit. Because
I agree.
Carry the future. So that's what I say to that. I say let's keep doing what it is that we're doing, and let us begin to make the connections. Let us begin to stop talking much and do much. You know what I'm saying? Let us begin to know who are the movers, who are the shakers, who are the manifestors, who are the ones who are going to hold it up, and do something where we can see the fruit. And remember that the children behind, they're going to want to see manifestation. If it is that whatever
Absolutely.
We're doing is going to be sustainable.
Absolutely.
So,
I agree
with
her 100%. Let me ask this question. We know we have a nurse on the line, and we'd like for you to push one. I want to play one more clip, and then I want to play a little bit more information because I think that it's important for the people to know exactly where we are, exactly what's being implemented, because like she said, we're not going to run, and we're not going to get everyone all upset, but at the same time, we do have to put ourselves to the point we let each other know that it's time to stop playing, and we need to start getting serious about our health. We need to start getting serious about our children. We need to start getting serious because, you know, when a mandate like that comes down from the White House that gives the medical authorities to make a decision whether or not to detain you, then that takes away your civil rights. And a lot of these issues can be resolved with just changing our diet and beginning to take better care of ourselves so that we're ready when the Most High says it's time for us to go. And, you know, like I said, I know that we have an individual that's on the line that is in the nursing field, and I'm waiting for her to come back on the line. But I wanted to play a little bit more of this, and then I want to play something else. Hold on. Here we go.
The detention of Americans who just display acute respiratory syndrome. So with the exception of influenza, anyone can be forcibly detained by medical authorities. So quarantining of people suspected to have Ebola is obviously a wonderful idea. Now, as we highlighted earlier this week, the Centers for Disease Control already has measures in place for dealing with an outbreak of a communicable disease. It'll allow for the quarantine of well persons who do not show symptoms of the disease. So obviously, they are already prepping themselves to have the authority to quarantine Americans. And why is that? Well, now they are bringing this highly deadly disease for which there is no cure to the West, because that's so intelligent. At least one, but possibly two U.S. citizens with Ebola are due to fly from West Africa to Atlanta sometime within the next few days. Now, this is Dr. Kent Brantley and Nancy Reitbol. They are said to be in grave condition, and they are going to be treated with an experimental drug once they get there. Obviously, Ebola is a highly contagious, communicable disease. Bringing those people to the United States or the U.K. or Germany, wherever they're bringing them in Europe, it's not going to alter the fact that 90% of people who come in contact with this disease will die. But what it will do by transporting them elsewhere is increasing the risk of the virus spreading. Now, these patients have Ebola Zaire, which is a condition where all bodily secretions are infected. This condition causes diarrhea and vomiting, a high fever that causes the patient and bleeding from every orifice. Now, these symptoms are not going to be conveniently just stopped because the patient is transferred to the United States or Germany or anywhere else. And, of course, it's highly dangerous considering they have to be transported through the airport, on helicopters, planes, on the ambulance. They're going to have to be taken from the ambulance through the hospital into the isolation unit. Of course, anyone who is responsible for decontaminating the plane or the ambulance that they were riding in, if they miss one drop of any bodily fluid, they're all going to be at risk of being contaminated with this. And the virus has been shown to remain active outside of the body in dry or liquid form for 3 days. So this is just one of those things that we like to call here madness. It's totally madness. Now, obviously, you want to have sympathy for these patients, but why would you want to risk spreading this disease? There is no cure. Now, John Rappaport writes that we should be cautious about this Ebola outbreak morphing into hysteria. Here is one predictable outcome. He says that clinics and hospitals, frightened people who arrive with what are labeled early signs of Ebola will now be labeled as probable cases. The symptoms are very flu-like, fever, chill, sore throat, cough, headache. And, of course, the news media is going to love this killer germ. And as I mentioned earlier, Obama has already signed an executive order that will be able to give the authority to detain these probable cases. Now, the PSYOP warriors, people are going to say global pandemic every 15 seconds. The news is going to report how all of these cases of people, you know, with these early signs of Ebola. And Rappaport writes that this is to exert control over the population and obtain compliance. Stay indoors. Don't travel. Avoid contact with people who might be ill. Every so-called pandemic is a test. How well will the population follow orders? And, of course, the World Health Organization will shut down the airports. No plane should take off or land. Keep the ships in harbor. And Rappaport warned about this way back in 1987. He says medical propaganda ops are, in the long run, the most dangerous. They appear to be neutral. They have no political banners, and they claim to be science. And for these reasons, they can accomplish the goals of overt fascism without arousing suspicion. And, of course, today in New York City, they are running the largest ever surprise emergency drill there. Now, we reported last year about them testing to see how fast any airborne diseases would travel through the subway system. But now they have a massive emergency preparedness drill that is taking place at 30 facilities across the city, and it's testing the delivery of emergency medications in the event of a large-scale public health emergency or a biological attack like anthrax. Now, it's the largest surprise drill in the city's history, and participants weren't given any notice of this. They wanted to test the real, actual emergency response. But never fear, because the U.S. government is already planning to take care of you. They've already been prepping for this Ebola outbreak. They say they're going to begin testing on people an experimental Ebola vaccine as early as September. Now, the National Institutes of Health's Infectious Disease Unit is working with the FDA to put the vaccine into trial as quickly as possible. Now, what could possibly go wrong? We've already heard, you know, the experimental H1N1 was causing a lot of pregnant women to have spontaneous abortions, and that was in the thousands here with H1N1. We know the flu vaccines, they cause the flu or flu-like symptoms, so could this experimental Ebola vaccine cause Ebola-like symptoms? Or Is it basically going to be like the opening scene of The Walking Dead or any other zombie movie you've ever watched ever in the history of zombie movies? Now, coming up, more...
All right. Now, what do you have to say about that? I mean, I know that we don't want to... We have to alert the people that it's time to start changing. I mean, it is time to start changing. You know, these are the things that are going on. This virus is actually in America. There are actually 6 known cases in New York City right now that they're treating, and the fatality rate is 90%. It's a 90% fatality rate. This has nothing to do with us going home. This has nothing to do with us leaving. It has to do with us protecting ourselves. So we have to start paying attention and believing that, you know, if we do preventive measures, then we can save ourselves and our families, you know, by just changing this, a certain of our environmental behaviors. Changing how we, now we can't change everything because our children go to the schools and we go to the different places where the public is. I mean, it's just a lot that you have to deal with in terms of gathering your people, but we also have a responsibility to let the people know exactly what's going on. So this order has been signed, and I'll have the executive order for you in a few minutes, the number, so you can check it for yourself. And this was already signed by President Bush. And Obama just amended it so that the medical authorities will have the right to detain you if you display certain respiratory illnesses or symptoms. I don't know if we have our nurse on the line yet, but I wanted her, if you're there, we need you to push one because we want you to tell us how serious this really is in terms of the Ebola virus and how this works. If you're on the line with us, would you please push one? In the meantime, Brother Donial, what do you think? I mean, what do you think some of the preventive measures would be for us to do? And how what do you think we should do about this information? Because it's real. It's out there. Even with the H1N1, everybody was all up in arms and people were lined up to get these shots put in them. And I went to a medical hospital to get treated for like the flu or like the cold or something. And I told them, I said, I do not want that vaccine. And the doctor told me, he said, I'm not taking it either. They came up with it too quick. It's no way I'm going to let them shoot it in me. So, I mean, what do we do? Our job is to get this information out to our people because they're too busy arguing and debating over the word that nobody's taking the time to say, hey, let's take a look at this and let's change. Maybe we need to change the way we do some of the things we do. Go ahead, Brother Donia.
Shalom, shalom. This is Donia. Yeah, I've never been one to take vaccinations and flu viruses or blockers. I'm not for all of that. You understand what I'm saying? The old remedy has always worked for me, and I'd rather use those old remedies. Now, as far as what we can do, you understand? We got to trust in the Almighty. You understand? That's the only thing that we can do unless we are ready to get out of this mess. We've already got our plan in place, and we're working our plan. You understand? But as long as we here, man, we got to trust in the Almighty. We trust in the Almighty when we buy groceries. All of this here is prefabricated stuff, you understand? But we got to trust in the Almighty. We don't produce our own, so we got to trust in the Almighty that he won't have us be totally annihilated. He said that he through it all, Jacob shall be saved. And so, you know, at some point, and we, you know, this is why we having a think tank, so we can figure out the solution and some strategies that we can use that's going to save our, sustain ourselves, you understand? And we can carry these same things that sustain us here, we can carry them and implement them when we get home, you understand? So, we just got to trust in the Almighty more so than we've ever done. You understand? You know, that's all I can say about it. You understand? Because these people is the cruelest people on the face of the earth. They're not going to tell you the truth at all, period. Hallelujah.
True. And then also we need to start implementing, you know, better hand-washing techniques. We need to start disinfecting our houses and be very, very careful. I mean, you know, because this is airborne. you know, and I don't take it lightly. I know that they put a lot of things over the television to induce a certain reaction from people, but this is an airborne pathogen that is very, very contagious, and the fact that, you know, that they've been given a mandate to detain people who display respiratory illnesses, that's half the country, if not more than half the country, of people who have breathing conditions, respiratory illnesses. So we have to make sure that we start changing some of the ways that we do things and start really taking care of our health. Because, you know, when you leave it up to another individual to determine whether or not you should be detained or be free, you're going to the hospital because you have pneumonia or you have bronchitis, and you liable to not come home, you know, once if this thing goes to another level. And, you know, there's nothing anybody will be able to do about it. So right now, before it gets too far gone, we're just bringing this information to you so that you can begin to take notice, start to be very careful with contact, you know, and touching things, hand-washing techniques, sanitizing everything so that you can be prepared, because this is serious. Sister Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, King, basically what you said, basically what both of you said, one is personal responsibility, like you said, when you go out, you know, when you go amongst people, when you go into large crowds, if you don't have to, don't, you know. And like you said, practice sanitary techniques. That's going to make sure that you don't bring germs wherever you're going. Take off your outside clothes, something that we practice when we come into the home. When you take off your shoes when you come into your home, little things of this nature that you're not going to carry even the outside energy and vibration from outside into your home, into your dwelling. And trust in the Most High. Because, again, I mean, it was a different level when again, and I have to liken it to when the Most High is delivering the children of Israel. But this is the very same plagues in a different, you know, same thing that's going to bring dread and terror on the people. It's the same plagues that were going on in Egypt. And it was the natural elements, and at that time it's external. But now the plagues are internal, you know. And so it's the same thing. We still have to trust in the Most High, because when there was no light in Mitzrayim, there was light in Goshen. And so for wherever the children of the Most High continue to seek his face on a daily and earnestly seeking him and praying for deliverance, he will protect us, he will guide us, and he will deliver us, for he left it on record. And so, and that's why I said, you know, from what you're saying and what Brother Adonia is saying, and that's where you put your faith into action, and it's not just words. It's actually a manifestation of those words to show your belief and trust in the Creator. So that's what I had to say concerning
If our lines are open, you have a question, a comment, a concern, please feel free to push 1. I guess she hasn't came back on to the line yet. We're still waiting for her to call in. We also asked for Dr. Whitaker to come on board. He's in South Africa, and I'm imagining he said it was kind of late when we have our show. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning. He may not be on the line. Dr. Whitaker, if you are, could you please push 1? You know, because, you know, these are the things that are happening right around us, and our biggest issue with our people is that it's time to stop debating over scriptures. We do not fight over beliefs. Because at this point, you know, you can believe whatever you want. Now it comes time to pay attention to your surroundings and the things that are going on around you so that you can prepare and protect your family. You know, like I said, emergency prepare plans, things that you need to do in order to protect yourself. Because I know over in China, Japan, they walk around with masks on their face. You know, we don't know how this is going to play out or how far this is going to go, because there is no cure for it. There is no cure for this disease. And for them to come up with a bacteria, you know, I mean a vaccine to be able to put in you, you know, this is a 90% fatality rate if you receive this particular virus. And then they say even when men get it, and there, if you manage to make it through, the men's semen is still infected for 21 days after they recover. So this is all about body fluids, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to let you know that the disease is in the body fluids. And like she said, people will be, they will be excreting fluids from all parts of their bodies. And it's a very serious disease, to the point where we have to be very, very careful, you know, even now before, you know, while they have isolated cases and people are being held in the hospitals and things like that, as she walked us through the whole process of flying them over on the street and flying them over on the plane, their ride from the plane to the hospital, all of the emergency people that have to come in contact with them. You know, we need to start praying for those people because this is very, 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 very serious. This is extremely serious for this to be out like this. You know, and a lot of people would say that it was that the disease itself was actually planned. They were planning to do something like this. We don't know. All we know is that we were led to do this show today after Imana finished her presentation about healing because we have to make sure that you all understand just how serious this is. This is very, very serious. A 90% fatality rate, and it's airborne. It's done through fluids, touching stuff. You know, I know when we go to the grocery store here, we have those sanitary wipes that you can wipe off the grocery carts and all of that kind of stuff with, you know, but it's time now to start really paying attention. And I want to play one more before we go because I want you to listen to, you know, the report that have come down from this. Hold on, here we go.
World health experts said today the Ebola outbreak in West Africa is out of control. And the head of the World Health Organization warned of what she called catastrophic consequences if it continues to deteriorate.
And we begin here again tonight with the spread of this Ebola virus. It's devastating in the countries where it's breaking out. And, of course, it can travel by air right along with an passenger. We learned today the first American to die in this Ebola outbreak was a diplomat, a man who flew while sick from Liberia to Nigeria. The disease is now officially out of control, and because of fear and people fleeing, the security situation in Western Africa is now dangerous.
The disease is spreading. Civil unrest is growing.
When the disease progresses, people get afraid.
For the first time in history, doctors right here in the United States will battle the Ebola virus.
The CDC will also be sending 50 disease detectives to Western Africa, where the death toll has soared to more than 700. In Liberia, empty streets in the capital. The military deployed as panic rises. Disinfectant sprayed in public places. Hand washing stations up outside supermarkets.
Two Americans are set to come home from Liberia in the midst of the Ebola outbreak, and they will become the first cases treated here in the United States. As Marcy Gonzalez reports, the missionaries will be coming home one at a time.
Today, this hospital in Atlanta preparing to treat the first Ebola patient ever in the U.S. One of the two Americans infected with the deadly virus in Liberia, now expected to head here to Emory University Hospital. Now in West Africa, where more than 700 people have already died from the virus, extra efforts are underway to stop the spread of Ebola. The CDC issuing a travel advisory, warning against non-essential travel to Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Travelers at airports there being screened for potential illness.
People are scared. Why should America let people back in who have Ebola?
Centers for Disease Control has designated El Paso as one of 20 quarantine stations for the Ebola virus. The Sun City is part of a comprehensive system designed to prevent the spread of the disease in the U.S.
The biggest concern is that airports with international flights and ports of entry, which we have a lot of here in the borderland.
It's a scary virus, definitely.
Dr. Hector Ocaraza is the El Paso City County Health Authority. He called Ebola, which has no cure, one of the most frightening viruses out there. This map shows the 20 quarantine stations designated across the country.
Now, back to Obama's magic pen. He signed another executive order today, and this one is going to allow for the detention of Americans with respiratory illnesses. Now, of course, this is all coming on the wake of that Ebola scare. Well, Obama's amendment will allow for the detention of Americans who just display acute respiratory syndrome. The Centers for Disease Control already has measures in place for dealing with an outbreak of a communicable disease. It'll allow for the quarantine of well persons who do not show symptoms of the disease. So obviously, they are already prepping themselves to have the authority to quarantine Americans.
So the U.S. missions in the affected areas have distributed messages to U.S. citizens regarding the Ebola attack.
and those missions are closely monitoring the situation. The U.S. missions in the affected areas have distributed messages to U.S. citizens regarding the Ebola attack.
Health warning now out of Florida, where officials are sounding the alarm about a deadly bacteria that breeds in the water. It's already killed 9 this year, and people with open wounds are being warned to stay out of the water. NBC's Matt Gutman has the story.
Called Vibrio vulnificus, the bacteria struck silently but swiftly Monday, something that has public health officials here on high alert.
I never heard that there was ever even a bacteria in the water.
Henry Kaninsky was crabbing with his wife along Central Florida's intercoastal waterway, but he was apparently infected.
Toledo, Ohio, coping with a major health threat after officials discovered toxins in the water supply. Tonight, the scramble for bottled water, the restaurant shut down, and no word yet on when it will be safe to drink again.
Tonight, a state of emergency declared in the Toledo area, with more than 400,000 residents unable to drink or even boil their tap water. Panicked families lining up to get emergency supplies being trucked in from all over the state. Overnight, officials issuing an urgent notice after chemists found unacceptable levels of toxins in the water supply. Schools, restaurants, and businesses across the city closed.
All right, hold on. We got someone to push one. Let me get them on the line real quick. Area code 757, go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, this is Adonai, how y'all doing?
Shalom, shalom, Adonai, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just hearing the news, you know, and I'm here to shoot the bulletin. Then you know what time it is. It's time for us to get into our moments with Yah, to get into our meditations, to get into our communions, get into ourselves. Because right now, Yah is doing crazy things on the earth. So right now, it is that time that we all pray for, the time that we get free, the time. I know it looks crazy, but before you get up the hill, you got to start from the bottom and get to the top. So right now, it's time to get into our meditative states, get into our mantras, get into our prayerful positions, get out to our vibrations that keep us close to Yah, because they're going to mean everything right now. And a lot of children, a lot of parents, a lot of people is lined up, a lot of people is going through the things that we saw on TV. And now we're here recognizing and being trained for all of these times that we've been talking on the phones, communing with each other, controversy, subjects being handled, a lot of people making moves. And now it's time for us to get into that meditative state. Get into that state where that Yah can tell you exactly what you need to do. Maybe you could come online. Maybe your powers could come in. Maybe Yah said no weapon formed against us should prosper. So now we can't roll into the area of the whole nation. The nation is right now in fear. And Yah said, when everything is fair, fear not. Be still and know how poor will you die. So now it's going to be very important that we all get into these positions, because when we're doing this, it's going to show Yah and the Malachim that it's time for these things to take place. You got four times. Well, actually more than four times on the clock. It says 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. Then it goes back again, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Those are times that a lot of people on the planet are communing with Yah and the Malachim, because we need special help, special assistance right now. We can't rely on nothing that was already here telling us to bring us to this point that we are now. All we can rely on is that Yah spirit that's inside of us to get into that tomb. Because when now the body's being attacked on different levels, and when people are crying out, that right now all over the world. And it's not only when we hear it on this line, we're hearing it on everywhere. So it's that time to not fear, but get into your communion with Yah, because that's going to be most important right now. You never know what Yah is going to do. He's going to tell you to do something that puts you in a position where you can help others instead of being somebody that needs help. You want to be in a position that helps others and not somebody that needs help. And now how we do that is that we got to commune like the prophets did back in the time of Moshe, back in the time of Ezekiel, back in the time of Abraham, back in the time of Isaiah. All of these prophets, all of the things we're reading in the Tanakh is alive right now. So what they did is they communed with Yah, and that's going to be our most important effective weapon. Because when we get into those effective weapons, we're making our bodies disappear. And as long as we're making our bodies disappear, then we're showing Yah that we're not caught up in the materialistic things of the flesh, the things that stagnate the flesh. And the more when you close your eyes, you focus on the breath. Focus on your breath. When you're focusing on your breath, you're focusing on the thing that Yah gives you to make you exist. The most powerful thing that we have in existence is our breath. And when you get into your meditative state, you get into your breath, I guarantee you Yah is going to talk to you. Yah is going to move you. Yah is going to move your spirit. Why is he putting this in somebody's heart? Because that's the activation right now. So I hope I push something in the air that makes people feel like even when they hang up these phones that they have time to just commune with Yah. And guarantee you that's going to be the strongest mechanism that anybody can use. Because when a lot of people are living crazy in the world, they get locked up. They get put away. They get put in a box. They get put in a dark place. And now they have to what? Commune with Yah. But see, we don't need those experiences to put us in the position that we can get close to our Most High. So stay blessed, stay strong, and get into your meditative positions because Yah has something to say, something to give you, something to make you feel more powerful than you ever felt before. And that's why these things are turned up, because Yah is going to let his people free, free on different levels. It's going to be a process, but we're going to make it through it. And the way you control that fear and control that energy that everybody's getting caught up in is you got to make time for your Most High, most powerful creator of all things. So just feel good. The good things happen to people walking around feeling good. And remember, Yah is calling you. So just get into your meditative states, make your body disappear. And I hope and pray that everybody is feeling the energy that right now is going on, because Yah is on a mission for his glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Very good, very good. I mean, your brother Donia.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Yeah, this is Donia. Yeah, that was powerful. I couldn't have said it more better. You understand? We need to talk about the Almighty, and we need to go to the Almighty. See, that's one thing that David was famous for. He always went to his Creator. You understand? All the issues. This is a more important issue than all of them. Is that these guys is getting ready to try to totally annihilate us, but. But through it all, Jacob shall be saved. And there's no, like the brother has said, there's no nothing that they can put together could do anything to us, because we're under the salvations of the Almighty, and we just gotta believe in Him and do the right thing and do what He say do. When we get up off our face, you understand, from praying and giving God the glory, we need to get busy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Sister Muna.
Ah, shalom, hallelujah. I'm over here saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to the Most High. So that Brother Anaya for that, like, slam, what they call it, grand slam, home run out the park, over the fence. Hallelujah. And that, I think, brings it all the way around with the healing. Because when we got static on the line, then we can't hear properly. If right now I had feedback, you wouldn't be able to hear properly. And that getting into that position to be able to connect with the Creator is going to clear the static off the line. It's going to quiet the ego. It's going to quiet the self. It's going to quiet the mind. So like the brother said, you can get instruction, divine instruction, so that we can be in a position to help one another. And that's what I'm talking about when I said, when we get to where we're going, how do we sustain? We have to be in the position to say, brother, you don't have such and such. Let me help you. Let me get, you understand what I'm saying? And so that's why I'm glad that the brother pressed one and spoke, because it brings it all the way back around that it's a process. And in this process,
absolutely,
we have to be ready to receive the message and do it,
hallelujah,
as Brother Adonia just said. So hallelujah.
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 Definitely, for sure. All of it was very good, and we support everything, everyone. We have a lot of people on the line, and what we would like to say is that it's very important, the prayer, the meditation, the vibration, and all of that is extreme. That's all we have is Him. We can't make it without Him, and we want to tell our people, and the reason why we did the show was to let you know that it's time to start waking up. It's time to start arguing. It's time to stop fighting. It's time to start waking up and paying attention, because this is real life, and it's real. It's up close and very personal.
New
and
iTunes is a completely redesigned player. A new store.
Paying attention to the things that we need to start doing that we can do for our families and ourselves, and getting ourselves prepared for this as best as we can. And then, like he said, praying that the Almighty cover and protect us, keep us and tell us what to do. But it is an exciting time because it is the restoration of Israel. And these are the things that he said was going to happen. And these are the things that he said that we were going to be able to visually see with our own eyes. And these are the things that we're expecting. But at the end of the day, you know, we have those, like I said, who didn't put their blood over the doorpost. And this is what we're saying to you this evening. This is not a time to squabble over whether or not it's a sustainable a threat or whether or not it's propaganda. Just prepare. Prepare your families. Prepare yourself. You know, disinfect, clean, hand washing techniques. Be very careful, you know, but we have to walk. We have to still operate in the public. We have to be around the public. So we can't really stay in the house and stay sheltered, but we still can do what we can do to make sure that we are protected and covered. Because this has, you know, this is something that is very serious. But as the brother said, it's the Most High letting us know that these things are going to happen and we have to get out of here. So it's exciting at the same time, but we just want you to, you know, to be careful. There's a lot of things going on around the earth. You talk about earthquakes and sinkholes, and I mean, just all over the earth, there's things going on that are unexplained, things going on that men can't explain all over the earth. They're reporting them over the internet, letting us know that this thing is winding down and it's time for us to be able to reposition ourselves, come together as a nation, because it's time for us to get up out of here. And this is why we did the show this evening. This is why we asked for everyone to be here today. We also sent out a bolo that if you weren't able to make it, to please archive the show so that you all know that there has been an executive order signed by President Obama that gives the medical authorities to detain anyone who has flu-like symptoms or respiratory illness-like symptoms just in case you may have the Ebola virus. So, you know, this is now it's time to start getting ourselves healthy. It's time to start, you know, following certain health practices and taking care of our health, because we don't want to leave it up to them for them to determine whether or not we're sick so that they can usher us into a detention center and keep us detained for however long. So we wanted to let you all know. Brother Donia, you have any comments? I'm going to get the executive order real quick so that I can let everybody know where it is, so you can pass the word out and let people know to start preparing, you know, for this particular illness. Brother Donia.
Shalom, shalom. Yeah, this is an eye opener for us. This is what we're supposed to be. This is one of the signs that we need to be looking for to show us that the Almighty is on his way, because he's not going to continuously let these people just do anything they want them. You understand? He is our true and living Elohim. You understand? And there's nothing that in this world that he won't do for us. You understand? And we're not going to be totally annihilated. But we must be cautious in our doings. Princess Naima, she said certain things that we could possibly do, keep cleansing stuff around so that we can. And don't shake everybody's hand that you see. If you do, you got to have some kind of cleanser. You understand? And I'll leave with saying this, that I love each and every one of you with the dying love that I have for the Almighty. You understand? And there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The executive order is executive order number 13295. And it states that the following people are to be detained: severe acute respiratory syndromes, which are diseases that are associated with fever and signs and symptoms of pneumonia and other respiratory illnesses, are capable of being transmitted person to person, and that either are causing or have the potential to cause a pandemic, or up on infections, or highly likely to cause mortality or serious morbidity is not properly controlled. So, and then they said this does not apply to influenza. But, I mean, you know, when you leave it up to other people to determine, you know, whether or not you're a viable threat to the community, that's really serious. And, again, it's Executive Order 13295. President Obama has signed it to revise the detainable list of Americans who display respiratory illnesses to try to contain the Ebola virus. As the brother said, to pray now, it's time to put our mind to the to Yah and get on our knees and begin to pray and to use techniques, cleansing techniques. You know, disinfect, teach your children how to wash their hands. Sister Amuna said, you know, make sure you take your clothes off before you, you know, if you can, before you go into the house. You know, and make sure that you keep everything clean as best you can and not touch everything, because this is done through body fluids. Again, they said that if a man has it, that if he manages to make it through, because it has a 90% fatality rate, if he manages to make it through, it is still in his semen for up to 21 days. After he goes through the incubation period. So this is, there's no cure for it. It's very serious. We urge you all to please pay close attention to things going and begin to learn how to love one another and start working together so that we can survive this madness. And this is not the time to argue about whether or not the blood is supposed to be over the doorpost, because the Most High has given us a warning. He's given us these platforms so we can sound the alarm, so we can let everyone know what's going on and to prepare. If you are in churches, because I know we have Christians on the line, you know, these are the kind of announcements we need to make in our churches to let the people know what's going on so that they can practice cleanlier techniques to protect themselves as best they can, because all we can do is what we can do, and the rest of it we have to rely on the Most High for. Sister Amuna, do you have any last words you'd like to say to the people?
I want to say Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad, and love with all your heart, soul, and might. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And again, please, if you have any questions, if you would like for us to put, we'll put the link on the website. Our website is www.noymonarch.us, www.noymonarch.us. Also, you can email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com, and we will be there to provide you with any sort of resources, links that you may need. The executive order, again, is Executive Order 13295, signed by President Obama, revised so that the medical authorities will have the authority to detain any American citizen that displays any sort of respiratory illnesses or symptoms that they feel would be communicable or deadly to the community. So we want to let everyone know that so that you can start preparing. As the brother from Virginia said, it's time to pray. Time to meditate. It's time to put ourselves in a place that we can hear from the Most High, because even though it's a little scary and everyone's preparing, it's an exciting time to let us know that it's time for us to be preparing to get ready to go home. And on that note, if we don't have anything else, we'd like to say shalom, shalom to everyone, and we will see you on Tuesday. Don't forget, Prince Asiel will be on the line Tuesday from Members of a Better World. And they're going to be here to spread some love, to give us some instructions. As they prepare for our move to Israel, they're getting things prepared, you know, for those who may want to go over early to begin to work over there. So we have that done. And
one more thing,
you, and we'll see you next week, same time,
one
same place. Shalom, shalom, everybody.
Shalom, Islam. I want to
Everyone, this is Shaina Israel. We thank you so much for being continued listeners to the Yehuda Project. It is our job to make sure that we get this information out to you. We want everyone to start paying attention, stop arguing, stop fighting, stop debating, and start preparing so that your families can be preserved, because this is a serious threat. By the time we get the information on the news, it's probably farther ahead than we think it is. We do not mean to instill fear, but we want you to be prepared. So please take note, let everyone know that Executive Order 13295 was signed on July 31st of 2014. It was revised by President Obama to detain Americans that show signs of respiratory illnesses. That doesn't matter how old you are, what age you are. It's time to get in shape. It's time to start taking care of ourselves so we can prepare for the exodus, and to start gathering ourselves together so we can be resources to each other and be able to help each other. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom, everyone. Don't forget that Tuesday night at 6:30, Members of a Better World featuring Prince Asiel will be on the line, bringing more information to us as a nation while we gather together and prepare ourselves for the exodus. See you later, everybody. Shalom, shalom. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Bye-bye.